Blog Talk Radio.
Joanne, I'm going to can that music because I don't think it sounds very good. This is John, and tonight we have child star Tammy Locke from the Monroes. Hey, Tammy,
Yay!
Are you there?
Hey, Tammy!
Hello, hello. I wish it would have been the theme from the Monroes. That would have been the perfect.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go. Now, unfortunately, the platform we use, the music, when we play it, it sounds horrible. So sometimes we like to just mix it and just get right to the show. But well, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to Applause Radio. Tonight we've got Tammy Locke. She's a former child star who will not stop. She just keeps going. And she's a former child star from the Monroes. And I believe it ran, what is it, the 50s, Tammy, or 60s?
Late 60s. It's 26 episodes back then. So that was one season. But in current day, that would be two seasons.
Wow, wow. Let me ask you this. Unfortunately, I didn't see the Monroes. I hate to say that. I apologize. I'm a little younger. Not that anybody's old here, but excuse me. It was the Monroes a take on the Wild West, or was the Wild West first? Or
the Monroes was a Western. It was written to be a Western. I don't know that it was a take on anything. It was
Wagon Train.
It was an original. It wasn't written off of some other story.
So was the Monroes first or Wagon Train was first? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
That's a good question because I would not know that answer. I never saw Wagon Train.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I'm sorry. And I apologize to everybody for my voice. I'm not feeling well. I'm under the weather, but we'll be fine. But Tammy, tell everybody that I was excited, and I apologize again for posting incorrectly. You just got the cover of the Hollywood Weekly?
That is correct. The Hollywood Weekly magazine. The owner is Prather Jackson. It hits the stands nationally within the United States of America on Monday. And it's being distributed through Books A Million. So if you have a Books A Million in your area, definitely pick a copy up. I'm not only the cover, I have my Great Pyrenees dog on the cover with me because on the Monroes, we had a Great Pyrenees dog.
Oh, nice.
And so I have my dog because of the dog on the Monroes. It's just
very nice.
Amy and Snow just seems to go together. But
nice.
My dog's name is Precious.
Nice. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday. I know it's a day early, happy birthday. Tammy's birthday is tomorrow, September 19th.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you taking the time to join us. And you have the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen. My God.
Thank you.
They just light up. They light up.
Thank you. A lot of people don't know this, but my eyes are actually chameleon. It depends upon what color that I'm wearing. A long, long time ago, I was wearing a color I don't remember. I wish I would have looked at what color I was wearing.
Yeah.
But a lady walked up to me and said, "My gosh, your eyes are purple. Like, do you know who Elizabeth Taylor is?" And I said, "Absolutely. Your eyes are purple." She goes, "I've never seen that on somebody." And they turn brown, they turn hazel with green, they turn green, they turn bright blue.
I've got the hazel thing, depending on what I wear, if they get either green or bluer. So.
Right.
Well, so you were two when you started in the Monroes, right?
I was 18. No. I was on the Monroes. I was, I think I was 5 or 6.
Oh, okay. So your first audition was when you were two, or?
That I was 18 months.
Wow.
And what happened was, it wasn't an audition, to be quite honest.
Uh-huh.
My sister Cheryl Locke was a child actor as well.
Right.
She was in movies such as I Saw What You Did and I Know Who You Are with Joan Crawford and John Ireland. And
oh, my God.
Wow. And Father Goose with Cary Grant and Leslie Caron.
Amazing.
She was actually going on an audition for the role of Sally Lawrence, who was Robert Redford's daughter.
Wow.
And we had a nanny back then, Minnie was her name.
Mm.
And she used to watch me when my mother would take Cheryl to auditions.
Mm.
But this one day, Minnie couldn't watch me, so my mother took me with her, and I was only 18 months. So
right.
She sat me with the secretary in the office right next to the room that they were going to be in. And then so they went into that room with the director and producer. And the secretary decided to get a cup of coffee, so she left the room for a few seconds, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I walked where I knew my mother was. I grabbed the door, and I threw it open, and it hit one of them, and I walked in. I said, Mommy Potty, Mommy Potty.
Yeah.
They looked at my sister, and then me, then my sister, then me, and they looked at my mother, and they said, Mrs. Locke, we want her, not her.
Oh, my God.
So and what was really nice is that they wanted my sister Cheryl to play a younger girl around, I guess, around 5 years old. Cheryl's 5 years my senior. So due to the fact that I was 18 months, I mean, she had to be almost 7 years old. So she would have had to have played a little girl that was 2 years younger. And, you know, when you're that old – or that age, you're always thinking,
I was
going to
say,
yeah,
you're not that old, but in Hollywood, in Hollywood, you're that old.
Yeah. Yeah. She was actually happy she didn't get the role because she didn't want to be the younger girl. She was a big girl.
Well, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. It's like almost being spotted by over in, oh, God, what was the name of that place? Somewhere they found Lana Turner, or it was the Rest of Cafe. What's the story? I forgot who that is.
Oh, I don't know, to be quite honest.
Oh, supposedly found her while she was at it, drinking coffee, and I can't think of who she is off the top of my head because I have all you in my head.
So,
your parents work for Northrop, which I believe is a bus company. Northrop Grumman, yes?
No, Northrop Grumman is one of the leading aerospace companies.
Why am I thinking buses? I'm like, really?
Yeah, they made the F-18.
Oh.
And the T-38 trainer and, you know, commercial airplanes and things like that.
So would you say your family, I know the rest of your family has also got the acting bug. Did you get the bug because of your grandfather and because he was a vaudeville performer, or just happened, like you said, it just happened to be spotted?
Well, I, for the most part, as far as it is me, I didn't have an acting bug. I was literally just
you were bitten.
But my sisters, they did. They were doing theater productions and things like that. We had an agent by the name of Mitzi McRae and a manager by the name of B. Calhoun.
Mm.
And both of my sisters were doing kind of like stage productions, basically, stage shows.
Wow. And now your grandfather that was in vaudeville, was he your mom's or your dad's father?
My father's father.
So was your father into acting as well or performing?
He wasn't into acting. My father was a really good organ player. He used to play organs all over the place. He had a best friend, George Gregorius, and he had a pizza place called Pipe Organ Pizza, and it had an enormous pipe organ, and my father used to go in there and play that a little bit. And he just used to play all the oldies like Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey and things like that.
Nice.
No, my father was an engineer, one of the top guys for Northrop Corporation. He worked literally for Jack Northrop. And he flew with Chuck Yeager, which was the man that broke the world speed record.
Yeah.
And he also flew, was very good friends with Jackie Cochran, who broke the world speed record, the first woman, and Pancho Barnes. He used to work on her ranch called the Happy Bottom Ranch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was always around. Matter of fact, the day that Jackie Cochran broke the world speed record, she flew, and as soon as she touched down, there was a bunch of people, I guess, coming out of a cafe that was there. And my father was just coming out of the cafe, and a bunch of people were in front of him, and she got out of the plane, and she spotted my father, and she comes running really fast, and she kind of like parts everybody, and she jumps up into my father's arms, and he was jumping up and down saying, "Earl, I did it. Earl, I did it. I did it. I did it."
Of all people, right.
That's one of my father's stories and in memories, you know, that he passed on to us. It was,
no bumping into Howard Hughes, I guess.
No bumping into Howard Hughes.
Now, you were in a lot of movies with some famous people. I mean, Robert Redford, Diana Hyland. I mean, even the Monroes. I mean, Barbara Hershey was in there. Are you still close with any of these guys or talk to them at all? I would think that you're still friends with Barbara. No?
Actually, I haven't seen Barbara since the Monroes, and Larry Katz, a very good friend of mine, actually, he was the one who hooked me up with you.
Yes,
I love Larry.
Nice guy.
My sweet friend.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, Barbara Hershey, for the very first time, did some autograph signings at a huge autograph show called Chiller.
Right.
In Parsippany, New Jersey. Which, by the way, I'm going to be there next month.
I was going to ask you if you're going to be there. Yep. I'm going to be there too. I'm going to see you.
Oh, are you great?
Of course I'm going. Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a pleasure. Absolutely.
But Larry, if you go on YouTube and look for Tammy Locke meets Barbara Hershey for the first time, you'll see the actual video of me seeing her for the very first time. And I don't know how she recognized me, but she, as soon as I walked up there, she screamed out my name, and it was just the most wonderful, wonderful thing.
Nice.
But I'm very good friends with Michael Anderson Jr. Still, and my brother Kevin Schultz. I'm very good friends with them, and have remained in contact all these years. And so
very nice.
Barbara's basically the only one that I haven't remained in contact with.
Oh,
I did try, but I just couldn't get people to allow letters to her or phone calls. They always have somebody, you know, intercepting, basically.
Yeah.
And it never happened, sad to say.
How old were you in the movie Once a Thief with Anne Margaret?
I was about five.
So,
six, yeah.
Had she already done Viva Las Vegas with Elvis, or you don't know offhand?
Good question. Probably she had done it. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But she was rather young in Once a Thief.
So maybe not.
So,
yes.
If I remember right, Viva Las Vegas was when she was a little bit older.
She
might have done Once a Thief first. I don't watch a lot of movies or shows, and I really never have. When I was a little girl, we had horses, and so we spent our time doing that. So I don't know, unfortunately, a lot of shows and stuff like that. What I did watch was, you know, Shirley Temple movies, basically.
Yeah, well, they were good movies. They were classics. They were fantastic.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I loved Turner classic movies. Do you like watching that channel or not really?
I don't watch it.
I have time to watch TV.
I don't. I'm very busy. If I do watch something, it's DVR'd. Or if I do watch something on the spur of the moment, it's most of the time it's a cooking show.
Yeah.
Now, something where, you know, kind of like Chopped, where you have to, where you're giving five unique, you know, things.
Right.
And you've got to figure out in 20 minutes what to serve, and it's got to taste good.
Right. Now, when you did these movies, you were young. I mean, did you have any idea that these actors were who they were, or they still haven't really blown up at that point?
So I had no idea.
No idea. So that's probably.
Well, to be quite honest, Barbara Hershey was actually, I guess you could, well, according to an email of mine from Fred Bogger. He snuck her on 20th Century Lot, and she filmed that day after reading for him. So she wasn't, as far as I know, she didn't have any priors prior to that. So she was brand new onto the Monroes, and Keith and Kevin were, I'm sure they were in commercials and things like that because their mother was a really big agent, Evelyn Schultz. So they had to have been on a lot of commercials and things like that. I know they were, one of them was in Tom Sawyer, and as they grew up, they were the very first Wrigley twins, you know, Wrigley gum twins. So, but other than that, I didn't know who any of them were, and they were just so loving to me. They were my family. And,
the second family.
You know,
right.
When you're that young, you don't really care or know who, you know, somebody big is. The president of the United States could walk up to you and you wouldn't know.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. That's probably why you were so good, because you really didn't realize who they were, and there was no anxiety or stress over trying to, you know, be good. You know what I mean? You were just being natural as yourself, but yet acting at the same time, you know?
Well, exactly. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but Rance Howard, who is Ronnie Howard and Clint Howard's father.
Oh, no, I didn't know his name.
Yeah, was my acting coach.
Oh, I didn't know his father was an acting coach.
Oh, he sure was. He taught both of his kids. And that's why they, you know, that's how come they are who they are.
I never knew that. I never knew that.
Hey, Tammy, I got a question for Tammy. Hey, Tammy.
Yeah, John.
I noticed that the Monroes was such a popular series that a lot of famous people were in like one or two episodes. And you talk about Ron Howard's dad, but Ron Howard was in an episode, right? You had Dan Duryea.
We had a lot of stars. Dan Duryea, Robert Fuller, Robert
Warren
Middleton.
Oates.
Yep, Warren Oates.
Yeah.
Alejandro Rey.
Wow.
Morgan Woodward.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
There was just, you know, do you remember, what was his name, Mr. Loveless or Dr. Loveless on Wild Wild West? That was Michael Dunn.
He was
on it.
Wow.
Richard Keel was Jaws in the 007 movies. He was on my TV series.
And you had James Brolin. Yeah. James Brolin, right? Wasn't he on as well?
James Brolin.
Yeah, there was. James Brolin was on my TV series. Matter of fact, he even played a trick on me.
But what'd he do?
he and Kevin Schultz played a trick on me. On the set, we were in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and they had built, you know, the cabin and the stalls and everything. And there were salt blocks that usually go into the stall with the horses, and they convinced me it was sugar and had me lick it, and I just started drooling all over myself, and they started laughing their head off because they thought that was just too funny. So.
Yeah, I do too. I can picture your face.
Yeah.
Tammy, and also,
I want to ask Tammy if you could give us a rundown what it was like for you to be on the set, like, and how long it took to do like one episode. What was involved with that?
We were there all day. We were there from early morning, probably 5 a.m. on all day. We would shoot, and you know, because you take each scene, you know, you take many shots of it, and then they piece it together in the cutting room, and that's how they make, you know, movies and stuff like that. But we were there all day, and of course, you know, we had to abide by the laws of the state, you know, and we had
Did you have a tutor there?
Yeah, we had two tutors there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we had to do, you know, the required things in education. So, and then we had a recess time, our play time. And it was funny because most of the time when the recess time would happen, I would sneak away and I'd go into the stalls with the big Brahma bull and I would literally crawl up his leg because at that age we had horses. And so we had a quarter horse that missed the track by 1/10 of a second. Her name was Honey. And I used to literally just wrap my legs around her leg. I mean, wrap my legs and arms around her leg and then grab her mane and I threw myself up onto my horse. Well, I did the same thing to the bull.
Oh,
and everybody was freaking out. They couldn't believe that I was able to go in, get on the bull, and sit there without having anything happen to me. But a lot of the animals that were on the Monroes were just wonderful, except for the, you know, except for the really bad ones like the what is that one called? I can't remember. It's not a wolverine. The wolverine, you know, things
that
is not good. But you know, like the cougars were wonderful.
You actually played with these animals?
Well, they watched over us, but I played with the baby cougar, and the big cougar was nice. I mean, they sat there, and, you know, you were able to pet it and that type of thing, but they definitely watched over you. So
Right.
But they had a lot of really great trainers.
Right.
You know, so it was okay back then for the most part. I don't think they know that these days, but
yeah. Well, you guys were up against a really big lineup on ABC back in the days. You had Batman, and you had the Virginians, which was a popular show. Lost in Space. I mean, you were just the space age. You know, was pretty much taken off, and people were into that. And, of course, the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, was a comedy that everybody loved. So, I mean, to keep those people's attention for that many episodes is amazing, you know.
I agree. Well, Batman was our lead-in. So
they
did a lot of promo shots with Batman and myself. Just Batman and myself. And so that was a lot of fun because, I mean, I was captivated by a man in this bat outfit. You know,
I didn't know
who he was, even though it turned out to be Adam West.
I was going to say, so you guys must have touched base at Chiller a few times, I'm sure.
No, I actually only touched base with him one time. I think it was at the Hollywood show, and I brought a photo that he had never seen before, and neither did his manager that, and they, you know, he signed it for me. So it was an original photo. So that's pretty nice. I've got that in my collection.
Yeah. What about Billy Mummy or Donna? What's your last name from the Beverly Hillbillies? Not Donna Dixon.
I didn't know anybody from the Beverly Hillbillies.
No, but they do Chiller. That's what I thought maybe you guys.
I didn't ever do any autograph signings with them. As far as Bill Mummy.
Yeah,
I grew up.
Oh, did I say? Oh, I thought we thought it was Mummy. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, it's Bill Mummy, as he calls himself. But back in those days, it was Billy.
Yeah.
But he was on 20th Century Fox. That's where they filmed Lost in Space.
Right.
Darby Hinton was at 20th Century Fox. He was in Daniel Boone. Patrick was there doing the Munsters. He was Eddie Munster.
So
those people were my classmates and playmates or whatever it was.
That's who you went to school with because that's all the tutors, the teachers taught to all the same kids at the time, probably on the stage, right? On the set there.
Exactly. I think the only thing that really oohed and awed myself was the fact that in class, while we were on stage, the stage classroom, I sat at the wooden desk of Shirley Temple's where she had carved her name into it.
Oh, what a thrill. And that's who you love, too.
That's who I grew up loving, watching her movie.
That's a thrill. So since then, you've done so many things. I mean, you got to, well, if anybody would like to talk to Tammy, please give us a call at 646-478-0999. I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. And, you know, her fans are there. Come on, give us a call.
Okay, Joanne, we have a caller on the line for her. This is Patty.
Oh, my God, I'm psychic.
Patty, you're on the air.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tammy. I am so curious how you how you crossed over to go, or what was your fascination about roller derby? Because my mom was a skater, and she did roller derby, and I ended up, and she used to take us to the roller rink when I was younger, and I'm 62 now. So she knew Joni Weston, and I'm just curious if she was one of your idols, or if you ever met her, or how you just became a roller derby woman, or a fan of roller derby.
How many beatings did you get playing?
Yeah. No, how many beatings did you give?
There you go.
Your name was Patty, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm very flattered that you've asked that question. To be quite honest, when I was about 17 years old, I'll give you the story, basically, the backstory. I used to work in a country and western club in Norwalk, California, called the Dodge Saloon. Mm. And they always had entertainers. And one of the entertainers was a man by the name of Troy Walker. Mm. And Troy used to go down to a skating rink in Pico Rivera, California, and he knew the famous John Hall and Ralphie Valadares of the LA T-Birds. He was very good friends with them. And so Troy asked my sister Cheryl and I if we'd like to go down to the skating rink. And I mean, I skated on those old steel wheeled types that, you know, kind of like slid back and forth, you know, according to the size of your foot and stuff like that.
With the key?
Exactly, the ones with the keys.
Yep.
But it was funny because we went with Troy, and it was just so much fun. I skated around, and then Troy basically called me over and introduced me to John and Ralphie. And I started skating some more, and John and Ralphie came skating up to me, and they said, "I notice you're looking at the bang truck," because I always used to watch it. I didn't know the famous stars, though. That I only had recently had started watching it.
I loved it, too. I loved watching it.
I loved it. Oh, my gosh. Because when I was about 15, my father sent me to learn Taekwondo karate.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, back in those days, we just had to, you know, everybody recognized me everywhere I went, and he wanted to make sure that I was safe.
Yeah, right.
And so at that time, we didn't have any horses. My father got rid of them all. We transitioned. We found out what boys were.
What's that saying? You rode a cowboy instead of a horse?
Exactly. But it was funny. So here I am, karate, but nobody else knew that I did. But John and Ralphie said, "Well, we noticed that you're watching the bank track a lot. Would you like to try it out?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, is this it really happening?" So I'd love to. So they brought me over to the bank track and put me up onto the track, and then they started showing me. Ralphie skated around with me, and John was off to the side giving instructions, basically. "Hey, Ralph, have her do this, have her do that."
Yeah.
And so they would line a couple of people up onto the track, and they had me jump over that person. They showed me how to fall and stuff like that. And I guess it was the end of that night where John and Ralphie were talking, and they casted me on the Detroit Devils as number 22. They actually welcomed me right on, because they saw that I learned fast.
Right.
And then I wasn't too bad of a skater. I wasn't a professional skater by no means.
Yeah.
You know, but I was decent enough to hold my own.
Were
and
you
so
sorry? Were you,
and you were,
by any chance were you used as any advisement for the roller derby movie, or did you have a part in it? I forgot the name of the movie.
No, I wasn't. That's the Barrymore's movie. No,
there was an older one. There was an older one. I don't remember the name of it.
When that one was.
Yeah.
Raquel Welch was
That was it. Raquel Welch.
Raquel Welch was trained by John Hall. Patty, was there another did I answer
No,
your
and
question?
And you, being very pretty, being able to do all the falls, the jumps and turns, that also was an asset, because a lot of the roller derby women, they were so bulky and tough looking that having a pretty roller derby girl, that sold, that brought in fans.
Exactly.
So that
it
was,
sure did.
they knew exactly who to zoom in on when they saw you there.
Exactly, and they used my name, Tammy Locke,
and the name,
a lot of
the name
came in when they figured out who I was as due to the fact that nobody knew that I knew karate. There was one game where they had planned out the whole thing and who was going to be the jammer. The jammer is the person that wears the hat, the helmet, and they have to come from the back and pass everybody and go around and then start passing again to gain points. And it was my turn to be up, basically. I was the jammer. And we were fighting, of course, against the LA T-Birds. Now, the problem that I have here is that I can't find any footage of this particular scenario that I'm going to tell you about.
Somebody's got to have it.
I know. So it was funny because both of us were supposed to make so many points, and the one girl, I guess she just didn't like me. But the problem is I don't have any footage, so I don't remember which girl it was that was on the LA T-Birds. That's the problem. But I think she was blonde, but I'm not sure. But anyways, so we did our thing. We passed everybody up, and then we started skating and, blocking each other and fighting each other. The next thing I know, she took me and picked me up and threw me up and over.
Oh, my God.
I think I saw that.
They were not supposed to do that. You're supposed to throw the person into the railing, you spin, and then you drop.
You roll over the bar. You don't you roll around it. I think I remember that.
Yeah. So what happened was I ended up almost breaking my back on the chairs that they had in that section.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it was funny because my father, for years and years and years, he had this favorite story about his daughter being in roller derby, because what he used to tell everybody was, boy, you should have seen it. She got up out of that area and she was grabbing those chairs and literally throwing them from left to right to left to right. She was ripping through the entire
and when you were rolling back to get onto the rink, I remember that
exactly. And what I did was, since I was a girl, a cowgirl, and I used to swing myself up onto the horse, I did exactly that. I grabbed the railing, and it only took me one time, and I swinged over the railing onto the track, and I tore after her. Threw her into the infield.
Yep.
I grabbed her head. She had the helmet on, and I was literally on top of her, putting her head, bashing it into the concrete.
Good for you.
I can't believe that was you. I remember that. Oh, my God. Because we used to watch it. I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. Look what you just did. Oh, there she goes. She's going to get her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, it was funny because John Hall grabbed me. He wasn't supposed to grab me because he was the manager for the LA T-Birds.
No, the crowd was wild.
Yeah, he picked me up and threw me over his shoulder. And says, he's like trying
That's
to keep
enough.
Under
That's
his breath
enough.
To where people couldn't hear. He's like, Tammy, you can't do that. Right. And I'm screaming at John, and I'm flailing my arms and my legs. I'm like, well, you should have seen what she just did to me. She wasn't supposed to do that either.
Oh,
so I
Tammy,
had to sit out. I had to sit out. Yeah, Patty.
Tammy, this
Go
was
ahead,
so
Patty.
Exciting for me to talk to you because I watched every Saturday morning watching roller derby with my mom and my sisters and brothers around our little black and white television, and you have no idea what memories this just brought back for me, and you have no idea what a pleasure this was talking to you tonight. This was
I'm
wonderful.
So happy.
Thank
this
you so
was
much for
wonderful.
Remembering.
Thank
well,
you
thank
so
you for
much.
Calling,
Thank you. You have a great day. I'm calling from Hilton
you
Head,
too,
South
honey.
Carolina.
Excellent.
Pardon me?
I'm calling from Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Oh, I love South Carolina.
Oh, I love it.
We had
rain all day today, but I had a wonderful time tonight. Thank you. Have
a
good night.
Well, I visited North Carolina quite a few times, Salem and Winston-Salem and what's the one that starts with an A? I can't remember. Archville or Asheville, North Carolina, because I did some autograph signings there.
Yeah.
But I'm coming into October 25th, 26th, or 24th, 25th, 26th, I think it is. I'm not sure. Is the Chiller Show in Parsippany. You should come on.
Yep, Parsippany,
I'll be
New
there
Jersey.
Signing autographs, and I will have my roller derby photos with me.
Tammy, I cannot believe that you told that story. I remember that because I watched it too every weekend. I can't believe that was you.
That
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you. And also tell us about the California Express. That was a country band you were in. And did they have any hits or anything that made the top 100 at least?
They didn't have any hits. They weren't really, for the most part, a recording band. They did do albums after, I think it was, with me. Themselves. I met the California Express through a friend of mine, Johnny Berger. He was kind of like a promoter for the Anaheim Cowboy. And he introduced me to them. And the next thing I knew, I was touring with them for about 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And the band was made up of mostly family of the famous Tex Williams, who was the recording artist. Smoke that cigarette.
Yep.
So it was his two nephews, Russ Paul Orr and Dennis Orr.
Wow.
So Russ played the lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis played bass.
Mm-hmm.
His son-in-law, Sam Aiello, played drums.
Wow.
Marty Rifkin played a lot of things. Back then it was probably about 17 instruments. Now it's 30 plus or 50 plus.
Wow.
But we also occasionally had Christopher Nielsen and Jeffrey Steele. Jeff Steele's a major singer-songwriter in Nashville, Tennessee. So those were the great days. Now Marty has been one of the number one record producers.
He's very famous, Marty. Yeah.
He's very famous, He's worked with people like Elton John.
Yes.
Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen is one of his best friends, and he's Bruce's session player.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
He tours with
Bruce.
Uh-huh.
Not all the time, but he does tour with him once in a while.
Right. Well, that's cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I actually saw you sing online, and you have a wonderful voice, very beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I don't get to sing as much, so.
Well, why don't you do something and put out an album or something?
Well, actually, that's so funny.
You working on something
last June, one year, was it I think it was 1 year ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. Last June. The fans, I always do go lives on Facebook. And
yes, I see you all the time.
And a lot of times I'll get emails or texts saying, will you go into the recording studio again?
Ooh.
So I called up Marty, and I said, Marty, I want to come into the recording studio, and I want to sing one of my favorite old country songs that the only person I knew of singing it was Juice Newton. However, it was sang by Elvis and a lot of other people as well. But
that's
it's
right.
it's a slow ballad, basically, but it blows.
Which one?
And so he goes, are you here yet? So I got there, and 2.5 hours later, we were finished with the product of Hurt. And me singing. So it's on CD Baby.
Nice. Nice.
And
I got to hear that. I got to hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I only know Elvis's version, I hate to say. But
yeah.
I mean, his version that makes my hair stand up on my
Well,
own.
You definitely
yeah.
got to listen to it, but it's on CD Baby.
Yeah.
Look up Tammy Locke, CD Baby.
Right.
And the song is called Hurt
More Than You'll Ever Know. I love with my voice being so deep right now, I could actually do Elvis really well, I'm sure.
Hey, John, are you still there with us?
I'm still here.
I think we're hogging the whole thing, John.
No, Tammy, it's so funny. You are not the only guest that says, John, you with us, John.
I sit back.
Isn't there any more phone calls? That was so much fun.
I know. Well,
Patty,
you know what we found out, Tammy, is that a lot of people won't listen to the show as it streams live. They actually listen to it at their leisure,
after driving to
work and stuff like that.
Right.
And that just seems to be the thing nowadays. They don't call in anymore. They just listen to it afterwards. You know, they get lazy.
I mean, we do get calls, but not like how we used to, because like he said, they listen to it after the fact, you know, and it stinks because we love having the callers too. You know, we have a lot of fun with them. Yeah.
Well, if anybody wants to email me,
yeah,
I have an assistant that answers them, but it's Tammy@TammyLock.com.
Right. Excellent.
Tammy, let me ask you this question.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me ask you. The Chiller Theater or the Chiller Convention, I used to go to that too because I'm a filmmaker and I make horror movies. But that's kind of like a horror place. How did you get involved with going to like a horror convention?
Well, for the most part, you're absolutely right. However, Kevin Clement also has other types of genres as well, with, you know, movies and things like that. He's an amazing, amazing man.
Mm-hmm.
He has been booking this show. I believe the next year in April, it's going to be the 30th anniversary. But
I've known it for 20.
Is it 20?
I've known it for 20. So it's been around a long time. I know that.
Yeah, it has. Maybe it's not the 30th. Maybe it's the 20th or 25th.
No, you're probably right. I'm just saying I only know it for 20, so it's been for a long time, you know.
But he brings in pretty much, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of horror,
dramas. Mm-hmm.
You know, Tori Spelling's going to be there in October.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Chiller Theater, it's really a lot of fun. It's basically, you could see.
An autograph show.
Yeah, there's a lot of your favorite celebrities show up, and you could get autographs with them, especially Tammy will be there. And like she said, Tori Spelling. Who else is going to be there that you know of?
Oh, my God. So many. Do you remember back in the day, the Jack in the Box commercials?
Oh,
the little boy?
Yeah.
The little boy that used to say, well, the guy interviewing would say, what's your name? And he'd say, Rodney.
Oh, well, God.
David,
I know who you're
talking about. Rodney, Alan, Rippy.
Yep, he's going to be there.
Says, can you eat that? He says, that's the Jumbo Jack. It's too big to eat.
Yep.
Rodney's going to be there.
Yeah, Rodney and I are friends, actually, on Facebook. I want to have him on the show, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah,
yeah.
He's going to be at the show.
Yeah.
Robert Carradine from the Nerd.
Oh, yeah.
From the famous Carradine family is going to be there.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Elvira's going to be there.
Oh, she's always there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just going to be so many stars. I can't even count them all.
And if you're into horror, they have, for those who are listening, they have, like, a lot of B horror movies there that you can get, and you could actually meet the celebrities that who star in the movies as well, the directors.
That's right.
Such as John Arricchio, who's been there. Me, myself, the way I got into it was I had some of my music was used in a couple of movies. So that's how I got into it. And when you go there, people dress up in costume as well. I don't want to say it's Comic-Con, but it's Horror-Con, like almost. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly. You know who else is going to be there is her very first and probably only autograph show, and that's Melissa Gilbert.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that one.
Well, I'm looking forward to going because I'm definitely going this year. Larry kind of twisted my arm, and I thought he would call us tonight because he knew you were going to be on. I thought he would have definitely called. But, I wanted to ask you, you had also a radio show, the Tammy Jean Show. What kind of show was that?
It was I was interviewing up-and-coming country artists.
Oh, music. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And anybody up and coming that really went?
Not that I don't know if any of them actually became someone. I know, you know, there was, I don't know, probably about 10 or 12 that I interviewed and stuff and stuff like that. But Tim Busfield's going to be there. That's Melissa's husband. He was in... Field of Dreams and tons of other things. But they're going to have a Fields of Dreams cast reunion there, the Nerd cast reunion. This thing is going to be huge. And for all the collectors out there that love to collect, there are so many vendors.
Yes.
Different types of vendors that are at this show. I mean, even if you don't want to do the, you know, the autograph thing, there are so many vendors, so
things
many
to buy.
Products that are going to be sold by these vendors, and you can't get them anywhere else.
No, you sure
can't.
You sure can't. That's true.
So that's totally, Tammy, you know, the cool part. Yes, sir.
Tammy, you mentioned Butch. You mentioned Butch Patrick, right? There's a funny story. One time we did the Chiller Theater, and Butch had a table next to mine. And he had to go eat lunch or something. And he goes, John, you mind watching my table? So I'm sitting at his table, and the people are passing by. They're going, God, he's changed so much. It doesn't look anything like him. I just got a kick out of that.
No, you never told me that one, John.
That's right. Did you tell them all, come back in 10 minutes, I'll look really different?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny. Oh, God. I used to watch The Middle, Tammy. What part did you play in The Middle?
I played, what was her name? Betty's Barbecue or...
The Neighbor?
No, it's a barbecue. We used to go to a barbecue, like, little hoedown restaurant type situation. And I played the owner of the barbecue place. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Betty from Betty's Barbecue, or I can't remember.
I'm trying to recall.
It was a while ago, but it was fun.
Yeah, and Tammy's also been in the Private Practice, Cold Case, and the voice of Charlie Pond. I mean, these are all major television roles, ABC, NBC. And are you still signed to 20th Century Fox, Tammy?
No, I'm just I'm a regular person. And, you know, I do autograph shows. I go all over the United States. And I would love to go to, like, New Zealand to WonderCon and things like that, you know, in a international country and do some autograph signings there because I've got an enormous amount of fans in those areas.
Right.
One of my fans is from New Zealand, Peter Benton. And he is actually interviewed, and his interview is in the magazine.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What is the story that you got the cover for on the Hollywood Weekly? What is the story in the magazine about?
Certainly. Yeah. So I told you a while ago that Rodney and I went and watched upcoming directors and their new movies. Well, this soiree was put on by the Hollywood Weekly magazine and Fraser Jackson. And so his lead writer, Anthony Ewart, found out that I knew Judy Norton Taylor, Mary Ellen Walton, aka Mary Ellen Walton.
Right, Mary Ellen. Yep.
Back in the day, because I was a roller derby queen at that time, and John had brought Judy in. She was going to be in a movie of some sort. She was going up for a role, and she had to learn how to do roller skating, roller derby. And
right.
So John, I was the only one there, and so John says, "Do you know Judy Norton Taylor?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Tammy, can you show her some moves and do some roller derby, skating? Show her what to do." And I said, "Absolutely." And so Prather Jackson, the owner of Hollywood Weekly Magazine, found out that I skated with her in roller derby, and he actually used to watch me back in the day as well. And so what I did was, I believe I sent you one of my business cards, and it shows all of my titles, you know, the former movie and TV
show. Yes, you did.
And former radio show host, former, pro roller derby queen and former country singing headliner.
Yep.
Well, when I gave that to Prather, he went absolutely nuts. He's like, "Oh, my gosh, Tammy," he says, "you have an extraordinary life, everything that you've done." I said, "Well, that's not all that I do." He says, "You've got to be kidding." I said, "Well, I'm also an inventor."
I wanted to ask you, what did you invent? I did want to ask you that.
Well, what happened was I was working at Northrop Corporation, and they stuck me in a test section where we tested the strength stability of different panels for different pieces of the F-18.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me four things. Uh-huh. I think it was four tools to do this one job. And I kept thinking to myself, "You want me to use all four of these things to do this?" And they said,
Sounds like chopped.
Yeah. And so I went ahead and I did it for a couple of months. And Northrop back then had a suggestion award program.
Right.
And being my daddy's daughter, I am the only one out of three girls that's an inventor. I can work and interface with something or whatever it is, and I can figure out how to streamline it and make it better. I've been doing that all of my life. So what I did was I turned those four pieces into one piece.
Okay.
And I created a blueprint, and I put it in the suggestion award box, and they paid me for my idea.
And what did they use it for? Just to...
They used it for cutting test panels.
Okay.
It was just an easier way
to do it.
For them to... So for you doing it with four tools, it would take you about a good 5 to 7 minutes just to cut a couple of pieces of this stuff called graphite. With my panel, it took you seconds.
Wow. And is that used in or outside the plane?
The test panels are used to test the stability of certain amounts, certain thicknesses of plies of graphite. So they would need to... That basically goes into building an actual airplane. But the test panels don't go into the airplane. It just tells someone if that airplane wing is going to hold up during something.
Oh, cool. Very nice. Yeah. Congratulations on that. I mean,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, your motto is enjoy life. It's the only one you have.
That's right. You sure have.
You sure have.
Good for you. So Prather said at that point in time, he says, well, we're going to put you on the cover of my magazine. He says, right. And I want you to work with my writers. I want some photos. We're going to put you in the magazine, and you're going to be the cover. So the
right.
next thing I know, here it is.
Excellent.
Going to hit the stand on Monday.
Congrats on that, too.
Thank you.
And your biography is where? Is that available on Amazon, obviously, right? Or you don't? Do you never? You haven't written one yet. I know.
I have not written a book yet. Even though my very good friend Shirley Jones and I,
uh-huh.
Shirley Jones is Mrs. Partridge.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Okay, we've done tons of autograph shows together. Matter of fact, her husband kind of adopted my son, who's now 22, but back then he was only 9 years old, and they kind of took my son under their wing, and they introduced my son to all their friends as their grandkids. So,
wow.
Nice. Yeah, so her and I sat in her room one night. We were having a martini, and I was telling, she got interested in my life and stuff like that. And so I started telling her, and she's like, oh, my gosh, Tammy. She goes, I never knew. She goes, but you know, if you write a book, you have to put everything in the book. I said, Shirley, you said everything? She goes, yeah, I mean everything.
Oh,
I said, I can't do that. I was bad when I was younger.
Is your son into the entertainment industry or no?
He is not. He actually just graduated from UEI College in HVAC. So it's air conditioning for commercial and residential.
Excellent.
And he works with his father.
Excellent.
My husband is a flooring expert.
Mm.
And has been installing flooring for probably 35 or 40 years now. Matter of fact, he's still got people calling from 30 or 25 years ago saying, please tell me your husband's still in the business, because we had a water leak and the flooring that he put in that long ago, it came up in that area, and we want only him to come and fix it.
Yeah, that's what happened to me by my kitchen sink. I'm so upset.
Yeah.
is he coming out with you at the Park Symphony?
No, he's got to work, and plus there's going to be a lot of things going on with Rodney, and it's just going to be too busy.
I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you. I'm going to definitely get there. The reason I haven't been in so many years is because it always falls on my birthday, and not for me so much, but it's my son's birthday as well, so I have to celebrate it with him. So that's why I haven't been in 20 years. So
yeah, well, I'll tell you, if you'll allow me to share, the way that I met my husband was through my singing.
Oh.
And he came up over to my table, and he says, would you do the honors of singing with me? And I said, absolutely. And he says, great. And he left. Of course, there was a little bit more than that. But about 40 minutes later, the DJ called us up, and we sang. And 1 year to that night, we were married. But our first date was 7 days from that night, and we played the one-up game. Have you ever heard of it?
No. What's that?
Okay. The one-up game is where maybe most people wouldn't do this, but him and I found it fun, so that's why we played it. The one-up game is where you try to be better than the other person.
Okay.
So I said, well, my cousin is Bonnie Parker of Bonnie and Clyde. He says,
true?
Really?
Is this true?
Yes.
True. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he says, really? He says, well, my grandfather rode with Pancho Villa.
Oh.
And I said, really? And he says, really? I said, well, my great-grandfather was Kuwana Parker, and he was one of the Comanche Indians that made, I guess, peace with the English. And he goes, really? And I said, really? And he goes, well, he says, my great-grandfather was the president of Mexico, Presidente Pascual Ortiz Rubio.
Oh, wow.
And that's when the game stopped. We knew we were perfect for each other.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, Joanne, we're coming to the end of our time. I want to thank Tammy for joining us tonight. It was such a great conversation with you, Tammy.
Yes.
And I'm going to go to the chiller, check you out there, meet you there.
Oh, you coming,
and we'll have
John?
A good time.
Good.
I think I'll be there.
Yes. Well, everybody, thank you, Tammy, for joining us. Tammy Locke. If you want to meet her, come on down to Chiller, Parsippany, October. What day, Tammy?
I think it's 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Yeah.
Something
excellent.
Like that. Just go to chillertheater.com and you'll find it.
And to get to Tammy, you could go to tammylock.com, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Well, Tammy.
And go to CD Baby, put in Tammy Locke, and the name Hurt, and listen to me sing.
I can't wait to hear. I can't wait. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Another great show. And thank you, Tammy Locke, for joining us. We had a pleasure of having you here. Thank you so much. And
John, and thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you so much.
Take care, Tammy.
Bye-bye now. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
John, do we have a minute? John?
We have a couple of seconds left, Joanne.
All right, just wanted to let you know that Yes, you hear me?
Yes.
I hear you.
All right. Pete Bremmy, one of our guests from Vanilla Fudge, he's going to be playing out in Butler, New Jersey at the Fusion Cafe October 4th. And he's the Vanilla Fudge and the Plasmatics Power Trio. Coming up on Sunday, Mr. Marty Walsh from Supertramp. And the 25th, we have Susan Jack singing Which Way You Going, Billy. And October 6th, we have a real treat. We have the Jersey Shore Angel. She is a medium, and you're more than welcome to call in, and she will read you. Can't wait for that. That's going to be exciting. And we're going to go from there. And, Tammy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Please make sure that you
send me an
MP3 to my email address so that I can upload it to my website.
Oh, great. John, you can take care of her for that.
Before we go, I want to tell Tammy that Shirley Jones was going to be in one of my movies called Johnny Blue, and she announced on Turner Network. But what happened was when Marty died, things kind of fell apart, and that was after he died. We didn't pursue it. So if you see Shirley, just tell her I said hi.
Absolutely,
okay.
I will, honey.
Tammy, thank you, honey.
Good night, guys.
October.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Night, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.